We're talking about being alone in this hour. And for writer and educator Parker Palmer, solitude is an essential ingredient of life. Parker's a Quaker, so he's used to sitting in silence. But every now and then, he needs more than just a meeting's worth of quiet. He just got back from a week-long retreat in the winter woods of Wisconsin, and he stopped by our studio to talk with Raymond Tungekar about what he gets from being alone.
I go off on solitary retreats and try to take solitary time fairly regularly. And as a writer, I have this time to process what's going on for me in the external world, to make sense out of it, to make meaning out of it. And I think that's part of what happens in solitude. There certainly have been times when I went on a retreat following a period of real turmoil in my life. And on those occasions, I took the turmoil with me, and it took time for things to settle out. And those can sometimes be very difficult days.
Well, I mean, you kind of brought up one of the dangers that I imagine comes with seeking solitude, in that depending on what kind of state you're in, you're also bringing some baggage with you. I mean, you can seek some kind of personal enlightenment, or you can just be alone with your inner critic.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there are states of mind when it's really not a good idea to go on a solitary retreat. I speak from some experience on that because, as I've written and spoken about, I've experienced deep clinical depression. And at times like that, it's dangerous, I think, to be alone. But if we're talking about sort of normal states of mind, I find it very sad to hear people say, "I'm afraid of solitude," because the only way I can translate that is to say they're afraid of being with themselves. And they need the constant distraction of a device or a home entertainment center or another person or a crowd to sort of keep their minds off themselves.
Do you ever feel lonely when you're alone?
Well, there certainly have been times in my life when I have. But in my work, I find it very, very important to think my own thoughts. And so the solitude is an important piece of finding out, well, what is it that I have to say that isn't just a paraphrase of what someone told me yesterday? What is that fresh, original angle on whatever it is that I'm thinking about, wrestling with, writing about?
To be entirely honest, you know, I really enjoy solitude as well. I feel really at ease and alive when I'm like alone hiking or exploring a new city by myself. But whenever I do that, I can't help but feel somewhat guilty. I mean, it's this idea that my time could be better spent, you know, with a partner or volunteering or building houses for the needy or something. Do you ever sense that type of guilt and this feeling that seeking out solitude is selfish in some way?
I think I used to feel that way when I was younger, but I came to the understanding that anything I can do to care for myself is ultimately being done on behalf of other people. I mean, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good grandfather, a good friend. And I can't do that if I'm burned out, if I'm depleted, if I'm empty, if I'm on the edge of despair. And so solitude, or whatever it may be, that helps keep me away from those dark places is ultimately, I think, not a selfish thing at all, but a service to whoever it is that I want to serve. We can't be in service 24/7 and survive or be sustainable.
Is there a way to seek out solitude without feeling disconnected from the world and the people around you?
Yeah, you know, I think there is. One of the insights that came to me as I've become more deeply connected with myself, what's come to me is the realization that I can be in solitude when I'm in a crowd as long as I'm closely connected with myself.
Well, can you unpack that for me? I mean, how do you maintain that solitary mindset in a crowd of people or, you know, when in the quote-unquote real world?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of not losing track with yourself, of staying connected with what Thomas Merton would call your true self. There's the false self that's the ego self, the one that wants to look good. And then there's the true self that is there, for example, to serve or to be of use as one can be to others. Let me try to give a concrete example. I've always enjoyed speaking to large groups, and I've done a lot of it. 5,000 doctors in a big hall down in Orlando. But it used to be that when I was in situations like that, I would be very anxious, very nervous, the whole, and because the questions I was asking were all about me. Do they like me? Do they like what I'm saying? As I thought into that and as I reflected on that in solitude, I realized that I could get up behind a podium in front of a big crowd and ask a different question. And that question was, how can I best serve these people? And as soon as the question shifted from how do I look to how can I serve, which is why I'm really here, that paralyzing anxiety started to disappear. And something purer and truer started to take its place. Now, I would argue that in that situation, I'm staying closer to the fundamental impulse of my own soul. And in that sense, I think we can be in solitude even when we're with others. When I'm in solitude, it's not that all the people in my life disappear. It's actually that what's important about the people in my life becomes clearer. And I think of them with probably deeper affection, deeper respect, deeper gratitude than I do when I'm engaged in the busyness of everyday life.
That's funny, though, that physical distance for you, it sounds like it's necessary to deepen your relationships with others.
Yeah, I think it all starts with deepening my relationship to myself. You know, I don't think you can have a genuine relationship with another person if you're not genuinely related to yourself. And from the other person's point of view, who is that person relating to if you're not really standing in your own truth, if you're not really grounded in your own soul? So again, anything that you can do to take care of what Thomas Merton calls true self is being done on behalf of other people. I deeply believe that.
Writer Parker Palmer, talking with Raymond Tangekar. Parker's the author of the books A Hidden Wholeness and Healing the Heart of Democracy.